Ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Reporting live from the beating heart of Nutmeg Country.
Cable actuated and opinionated.
This is Alt-Life Now.
Alternative radio.
For alternative cyclists. I'm Ronnie Romance.
And I'm Arya Best. Thanks for joining us.
Spoiler alert, we're going to get into why you may or may not be fast.
That's right. Here. What is going on in this episode?
Yeah, in this episode, we've got
headlines and hot goss, racing news from around the world. We're going to do a top 10 hot or not.
That's going to be fun.
In the GC of the Tour de France right now.
Yeah.
Ronnie loved the Tourmalet stage, so he'll talk about that. Is Quinn Simmons alt?
look up a photo of him if you want to play along. Yeah.
American Cowboy.
We've got some women's goss for the women's peloton, and then we've got a little bit on burnout and both the alt cycling and professional cycling. And we've got our real life report packs from the weekend, riding with friends out in Mystic, Connecticut, and also a country fixed ride.
Ronnie. Mm-hmm. And then Ronnie's mad. He's gonna talk about bike lanes.
Yeah, it rhymes with a former real world reality star. And of course, finally, our contributors. So, which we have several from this week.
We sure do.
So we'll talk about
keep
how rich we've gotten this
station.
Week. Yeah. So keep it locked. Yeah. Keep your dials locked. Keep your dials locked. WKY Jilly.
Okay.
All right. Well, I hope everyone is having an incredible early summer thus far.
I am.
I know I am also.
It's going to be a hot week again.
Yeah. I am currently clinking around ice cubes in my coffee cup this morning. My coffee cup is still nice and small, 6 fluid ounces. You don't drink coffee out of anything larger than that, folks.
It looks like it's melted already.
Yeah, the ice is melting. So you're going to get
just like in the real world.
Yeah, there we go. So, folks, of course,
Tour de France is happening right now.
Peak Tour de France. We just finished up the first week. This is our alt take on professional cycling. Okay. So we're just going to talk about really what interests us in the first week of the Tour de France. And I'm telling you right now, when you're watching Tour de France and you're looking at when these riders' headshots come up on the screen, they're often poorly lit and taken out of context of what the actual photo was. So you can have a good little chuckle at perhaps the rider's expense. It becomes part of the viewing experience for me. I know that. It's just fun. You could tell a lot of about their personalities, or you make up their personality, because oftentimes these guys are robots, or they're portrayed as robots. So you kind of have to make up your own personality for them as you go, because their interviews after the stages are over,
they're pretty generic. Yeah.
My team did well. My legs felt good. Bye.
There was someone who interviewed and they said literally nothing. They were like, it was just that over and over again. And I was like,
they've just buried themselves.
No, nothing.
Generally, they know they're.
This was
before.
They went into the stage. So
I have a theory that in order to become true, a competitive professional cyclist, that your brain almost, don't take this the wrong way if this is you, you're listening, but your brain has to be a little smoother. You know what I mean?
Well, no, this is science though, is when you are expending physically, it takes your brain juice goes to your body and you do have something called jock brain. That's a real thing. No, for real.
I was feeling
jock brain at some points of my life.
After your big 14 mile an hour average ride over the weekend.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, have you just looked up jock brain?
Yeah.
Read this off to us.
If you're asking about a bridge gap between physical. Yeah.
Okay. You're not reading it.
It's a thing.
Okay.
It is a thing.
Jocko brain. Some people call it.
No, that's not a thing.
Okay. Well, you just read it.
I don't have the right thing up, Jonathan. I feel like we're off to a really good start here.
Well, anyway, they don't have much to say before or after stages. Some of the more, you know, some people that have a better grip, I guess a better grip on the English language that they're being interviewed in. But, you know, I think the physical appearance is basically what we have to go off of. So we're going to start this headlines hot goss take with a roundup of the top 10, the current top 10 in the GC contention right now. We're going to go through them and we're going to tell... I mean, we're going to say, are these guys hot or not? Yeah. So, lowest common denominator here, folks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Facebook started as a hot or not for Harvard girls by that freaking creep.
I used to put mine, I had like a hot or not. There was an actual hotornot.com, wasn't there?
I think so.
Because I had my face on that hotornot.com as late as like 2004.
Do people vote?
Yeah, I was hot. I was like a 9.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a 10.
And I was like, why don't I have girlfriends then? Like, where are the girls? I'm a 9. Where are the girls? Turns out.
I know that, like, from being really pop culture gossipy about supermodels, they say girl supermodels are like, you know, it's hard to get dates sometimes because people are intimidated by a 10.
Yeah, they were really intimidated.
So that's what it is. So, it is true. If you have a crush on someone and you're walking by, you're not going to be like friendly and smiley. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, no, I don't see you. I don't see you. You know, people are awkward. It's
so,
okay.
So I wonder if any of these top 10 GC contenders have experience.
First of all,
the
top 10 is very young. Mm-hmm.
On average,
tell
them. Almost 3 years younger than the average top 10 in the year 2000. And there was only one person in the top 10 in 2000 that was under 25. And these guys are basically like all under 25.
More than half of them are under 25. Yeah. Okay, let's get right into it. Mm-hmm. Top 10. Number one, we have Tadej Pogačar. Mm-hmm. Rides for UAE.
Pretty funny looking guy. Never, I would definitely not consider hot. Mm-mm. You know, but you know, he makes up for it in other ways, I suppose. Okay, so
a bit of a personality. Yeah, so, hot, handsome, or cute, because we're not gonna do hot or
bring up photos of these guys if you want to play along, folks.
Yeah.
So Tadej, hot, handsome, or cute? I would say, you know,
I'd say cute.
He's barely cute.
I think
definitely not hot, definitely not handsome.
He got cute after his hair. He looks really cute with his like.
He dyed his hair blonde.
Platinum to silver hair.
And
short. I like that look.
In anticipation or not anticipation. He knew he was going to be wearing yellow quick, so he wanted to have his hair match.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. You know, in this photo right here, he looks like Greg LeMond.
Yeah, he does.
Less puffy Greg LeMond.
But, what do you think? Hot, cute, handsome?
Oh, I mean, he's barely cute, but I'll give it to him.
Okay.
All right. Jonas Vingegaard. Definitely cute.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
cute. He may be the cutest one.
I think he's very cute. To me, he looks like newborn child.
Baby Jonas, we refer to him as Baby Jonas.
He looks like he had just been delivered, especially when his hair is all wet and it.
Baby Jonas, maybe the cutest of them all. We call him Baby Jonas, even though he, at age 29, he is the oldest in this top 10 currently, right now.
Well, he ties with Egan, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Isaac Del Toro.
Wait, so Jonas is 2 minutes 42 behind.
Well, we were going to get to that with the Tourmalet stage. We're going to tell you how that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's barely a race right now. It's
anyway,
a race for
number
second place.
Number three. Let's stay on track here, ADD kids.
Isaac Del Toro, the Mexican superstar, 22 years old.
Yep.
Currently third in the GC. Tadej's probably the most competent teammate at this point. Mexican champion.
Yeah.
We love Del Toro.
I love Del Toro.
Del Toro, as far as GC guys go, he is my favorite.
Same.
He's just...
Style, grace.
Yeah.
I think he's very handsome. He's 22 years old, so I don't think he's hot, but...
Handsome?
He's very handsome.
Yeah,
he's a
handsome.
Sweet, handsome boy.
He's going to grow into a hot guy, I think.
You can say stuff like that, but for a 22-year-old, for me, I'm like, that's a little boy.
Okay.
That's a sweet, handsome mama's favorite boy. All right. In fourth place, we have Remco Evenepoel.
Yep.
Toward,
I mean,
I mean.
former, I mean, he's an Olympic champion, a world champion, time trial world champion. You can go on and on and
Soccer
on.
star.
Soccer star. This guy is, I mean, I think he's looks a lot more manly than most people in the Peloton, would you say? In the top 10, he may be the most manly looking.
I don't know what the gauge is there, but
He's
I
got a
think.
square jaw. He's got like a little cleft chin,
Oh,
you know. He's
sure.
got like a more like he's got a more like pugilist like, you know, he looks like a
Oh,
fist
I like
fighter
that
or
word,
something. Yeah, yeah,
pugilist.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could see
He's
that. I could see
scrappy. He's a
that.
little bit he's more like broadly built. So yeah, he just seems like more of like a you know, a stereotypical man.
Sure.
But as far as
What do you think?
the hot, no, I don't think he's
No,
hot.
I don't think he's hot
He's handsome though.
either,
He's
but
handsome.
he's handsome
Yeah,
too.
he's handsome. 26 years old.
Yeah, and he's kind of a like a villain right now, so
He's a villain. He's a bit
I
of a
like
yeah,
it. A prima
he's a
donna.
prima
I
donna for
like it.
sure. Yeah.
I love an attitude. We're so thirsty for some personality up in here that we're like, yeah, just
Yeah.
tell us why you're mad,
Okay,
Remco.
so again, folks, this is the current, this is after stage nine, right? We just finished stage nine. Is that how far in we are already?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
We are, this is, these are the current top
Right now,
10
as we
right now
record.
as we record.
So in fifth place is Juan Ayuso.
Ooh, we
What do
like talking about Ayuso.
we do?
Now, Ayuso, damn, hot.
He's 23, but yeah, I would say hot because he's like, he has like that bad boy hot look. He was like chewing gum when they
Oh
were
yeah.
doing the team presentations before the tour. He's just like, yeah, I'm not worried, no big deal. Yeah, funny joke,
We're
yeah.
talking like a pompadour. He's got some thick eyebrows. To me, he looks like Doyle from The Misfits.
Oh, I could see
Yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
could see that.
And you know, he's also a prima donna. Has like nothing to back it up with. Oh, he's 6 feet
That's not
tall. He's six
true.
feet tall
He
too.
that boy can back it up. He when he gets rabid, like,
I don't know.
and wants to win. I've seen it.
He made a big
Sorry.
deal last year, folks, about leaving UAE because Del Toro was emerging as like the bigger star than him, and he was the ch supposed to be the chosen one to, you know, follow Pogacar, and
And he got
in the
mad.
Giro he got completely dismantled by Del Toro. He got mad, switched teams to Lidl Trek, and Lidl Trek for whatever reason is just like, yeah, we need another fourth place GC contender. I'm like, this is our guy. So I don't know, you know, he doesn't have much to
Because
back it up
Lidl doesn't
with.
have a GC person.
No, this is supposed to be it.
Yeah,
It's
so
Gelmos. So 23 years old, he's a
we're gonna
hottie.
say hot
He's
because he's
hottie.
a bad
He
boy.
could be a bad boy.
And then there's Paul Sexus.
That's very sexist of you.
I say he's cute.
Paul Sexus, of
He's but a
course.
child.
Folks, this is our 19-year-old who's born in 2006.
Oh boy,
You
yeah.
know, this I think is for a 19-year-old, he's well
He's
along. He's
cute.
got, you know, he definitely has to shave, which we don't think Jonas is still not there at
No, Jonas does
29.
have to shave because
He had
when he
that little
didn't, everyone
beard.
was like, "What's with your hairy legs, Jonas?" And he was like, "Oh, remember when he had a bad boy face?"
He had a little facial hair during the Giro. I
Yeah,
thought he
that's
looked
when he
better
turned
that
it
way.
up.
Yeah.
Got
So
that
Paul
cheek back.
Sexus, I mean, it's
To
hard to tell what he's
me,
going to turn into.
he looks like a young Peter Sagan in this one
Oh,
photo. You
really?
know, thick brows, those
Yeah.
pretty deep-set blue eyes,
No
nice
doubt. No doubt.
eyelashes.
Being age 19, we'll get into burnout later on in this episode. But at age 19, right now, like I
But
don't
he's
know,
French.
that face is. This may be the best he ever looks. Like by the end of his
Oh.
career, and in 5 years probably,
Oh
the way that
no.
these riders are going, he's gonna look like a used catcher's mitt.
Oh man, leathered. So what
So what are we saying? Cute?
I'm saying handsome. No, I'm saying
Whoa.
cute. He's cute. He's cute.
Future handsome, perhaps, once he looks like a catcher's mitt,
Yeah.
more like broken in.
When he starts
Yeah.
smoking those Marlboros.
When he starts zinning.
Next up we have Florian Lipowitz in seventh place.
How old is Florian? He's pretty damn young. Oh, he's
He's German.
25.
He's 25.
He's kind of the breakout star. He was the breakout star of Red Bull last year before Remco switched to
Yeah,
Red
that's
Bull. And
right.
so they're throwing big money. Oh, big money as far as cycling goes at these people. And so Florian was on the podium. He was third place at last year's
Last
Tour.
year, yeah.
Kind of a breakout performance there.
Exactly.
So he's definitely better than Remco at this Grand Tour stuff. So they are kind of still battling it out.
Not currently.
On the road, because they're on the same team, to see who is actually going to lead the team. So that's some goss for future episodes. I'm sure it's going to be a developing story.
Yeah.
But Florian's got kind of like a nice boy look to me. Like he looks
really
nice.
Sweet. Yeah.
He looks like very considerate, mm-hmm. sweet, studious.
Yep.
And for many people, that may
buys
be hot.
Flowers
that may
for
be,
his mother.
That may be hot.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is all, we're just imagining this based
well,
on photos.
Yeah,
we know nothing
yeah.
about this 25-year-old, but I would say he's a sweet, cute boy.
I love that name, Florian, too.
I know. That's it's just a good name.
Yeah, yeah.
Florian.
Yeah. So,
you're, German,
what are you saying?
Florian. I say he's cute.
Okay, so are we at the top five right
now? He reads Mama's Boy, you know?
Where are
he's
we now?
Cute. Florian's in seventh place.
Seventh, okay.
So eighth is little Lenny Martinez.
Oh, my goodness. Now, folks, please look up Lenny Martinez. Our introduction to Lenny Martinez was filling it saying, referring to him as little Lenny Martinez.
Yeah. Because he is small. He's a great climber.
115 pounds. He weighs as much as you do.
I weigh 109.
Okay, sorry. He's beefier than you.
He is. Look at that beef. He also looks like a newborn. Yeah, maybe he's teething and eating.
Teething?
Yeah, he's
Come
teething.
On, he's a baby
he's
boy.
Eating. He's eating solid foods at this point. He's beyond just mother's milk.
I think. But I think in cases like Lenny Martinez comes from he was a nephew of a former cyclist, Miguel Mariano.
Okay.
And Yannick Martinez, respectively.
Is it Martinez or Martinez?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
He's French.
And, so Martinez.
And so he...
Martinez.
I have a theory that he's one of the, you know, being raised in a professional cycling background, I don't mm-hmm. think that he... I mean, he's got a... It looks like he has to shave, but I don't think he fully went through puberty.
He definitely has to shave. Look at look at that 5 o'clock shadow forming on
little
baby Martinez.
I mean, he's a small guy, but he's pretty
he's
good
powerful.
Looking.
And he looks great on the bike too.
He's pretty good looking. This is gonna come out of left field here, but I'm gonna say I'm proclaiming little Lenny Martinez, he's hot.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Ronnie.
All 115 pounds
Ronnie's
of him. That's a hot sack of skin.
Lenny Martinez is hot. I say he's handsome.
Okay.
He's a handsome boy.
All right.
Next up, we have Matias Galmosa.
So another legal track rider.
Yeah, he's in ninth place right now.
Oh, my God. He is a bag of bones.
Yeah, great jawline. He's
great
25.
Jawline.
What do we think?
I mean, he's pretty gaunt. But mm-hmm. he looks good in some photo. Look, he looks better with his kit on.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, but
he
when
looks
you look at
different
him, when you look at him without the kit on, he's not.
He's very gaunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not my favorite look. He looks skeletal, not in a good way. Oh my
not
god,
in
not
good
a good way.
way.
I don't know what I meant by that.
Like,
yeah.
I guess skeletons themselves look good.
So he's Swiss. He's Swiss.
Wow.
Is he? No, that's Denmark. He's from Denmark. Is that right? Where is it? He's from Denmark.
Denmark.
And geez.
We're worried about you.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything mean about Skelmosa right now because.
He's cute.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, I hope
he's
he gets
cute.
The help he needs.
Oh my God. I'm glad my favorite Valentin Peripontra is not in this top 10
God,
because
I
look at him mm-hmm. and I'm like,
okay, Bernal. I've had a thing for Bernal since he was born in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few in the top 10
that were born in the 1900s.
Egan Bernal.
29 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's a Colombian. He has.
He won and then he got in that terrible accident.
That's right. He was the youngest winner since 1909.
Yeah.
And then he got into a terrible training accident where he like ran into the back of a bus and like broke so many bones, like femur, like all. It was gnarly.
The bones you don't want to break if you're a cyclist.
2 years, and then 2 years later, came back to, and then he got set and his for his second Grand Tour win in 2021 at the Giro d'Italia. You know, a pretty accomplished guy. Who knows how good he could have been? You know, we'll never know because we're already nearing the end of his career.
I know, at 29.
But
he looks so young. I always think he's a lot younger than he is because, you know, he just looks really young.
I bet you he was super exciting to watch if we had been tuning into professional cycling in his heyday.
Yeah.
That would have been a crushing to learn of his crashing into the back of the bus because,
He looks so good on a bike pedaling.
But what are we saying? Hot, handsome, cute. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks here.
I think he's very handsome.
Very handsome.
Incredibly handsome.
He's kind of his nose, it's hard to tell if it's like that because of repeated sunburns.
To me, he has the perfect nose. Like people want that nose.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put that, I'll jot that down for when I get my next round of work done. I want the perfect nose in your eyes, sweetie.
Oh, you do have the perfect nose too.
But I could change
it. You could be Egan Bernal's nose. Yeah.
Folks, if you donate enough to this show, I can get the nose of my dreams. And then we'll move on to
cats. It's because you have a deviated septum. So you need
all the cocaine?
Jeez.
I don't do cocaine, folks.
He is straight edge, pretty much.
No, certainly not. But yeah, that's just the coffee talking, not the cocaine.
Coffee talk. What do you say?
Well, I can't really, I don't think he's kind of like pretty alien-like.
That's rude. Look at that. Look at that focus.
Definitely not hot. I'll give him cute. I'll give him cute. That's all I'm giving him. Cute. Cute. He looks great in pink. When he's wearing it. He looks great in the Colombian National Championships jersey. It's really good.
He has the prettiest eyes I've ever seen.
He's got gorgeous eyes.
Actually.
He could be considered beautiful. He's...
Actually, that is a stunning.
It depends upon what. Depends upon what photo you look at.
He does look very different in his photos, but
what's his wife look like? Click on that.
That's hot wife.
Oh, yeah, hot wife. Definitely.
Obviously, everybody got hot wives.
Yeah, they all have hot wives. Now, granted, folks, we just went down this list, and there are some creatures on this list. Okay.
That's not true.
Well, cute creatures, but they all have hot wives. It's bizarre.
It's true.
And they get married so young. Like these guys are like, I often compare them to, you know, these young GIs going off to war. They've got to like marry somebody quick so that they have like support at home, you know, it's really
like sailors of the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got to go whaling now, but I need someone.
Is that his girlfriend?
This is Remco's wife.
Holy moly.
Palestine supporter. Stunning queen.
Yeah, total queen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So now we're going into the partners. Not enough. All right. We can really get stuck here. But
yeah. So, I mean, I guess in closing, we've got two hotties, essentially.
Who did we say were hot?
Ayuso and...
Juan Ayuso, and who else is hot?
I think we only said Juan Ayuso.
Yeah.
I think Juan Ayuso is the only, like, I said little Lenny Martinez is hot.
Yeah.
So not so many hotties. You're not watching this sport because there's like David Beckham here or something, you know? We don't have anyone like that. But, you know, we've got some cute little creatures with hot wives.
We do have the only hot cyclist I know. Is Top Ghana.
Yeah.
I like start blushing when he speaks or he smiles. Mm-hmm. I start screaming I'm watching NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or something.
Top Ghana.
He's the only one who's properly hot.
If this were like stage one or two, he may be in the top 10, but this far into the tour, especially after a stage like the Tourmalet, Top Ghana is
top.
Is top.
Top hot.
Top hot. I'm saying he's nowhere to be seen in the top 10.
Well, that's true, but in that last stage, he right after the breakaway had their moment.
Well, I'm saying
He
he's not a
was
GC rider, never will
definitely
be.
not.
Too way too big for
Definitely
that.
not.
You got to be like of a certain body type, especially these days, to
You're
be a
going to be
top
a
10
GC.
rider. You
But
got to be a
he's more of a sprinter vibe anyway. So that
So
finishes off the top
that
10.
concludes Hot or Not Tour de France edition, folks. I hope you've enjoyed.
Okay, Tade is
Well, we don't have to go.
cute.
We don't have to go through
Okay. All
it
right.
again. Let's move on.
So we
Let's
want to
move on
talk
to that
about that.
Tourmalet stage I was talking about.
That's why I was talking about Tade.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Tade, who has just been confirmed as cute,
By both of us.
cute
Cute.
Tade,
He's cute.
stamped his. We all knew. So, folks,
Wait, he's only cute with the good hair,
with the good hair,
the
right,
recent
which
hair.
he has right now. So,
Yeah.
current cute Tade Pogacar.
Yeah. Currently.
Very dominant in his cuteness and in his physical abilities, because we all knew going into this, it was never like no, like even though people were saying his arch rival, barely that anymore, Jonas was had just won the Giro, was on really good form, hadn't been injured in a number of years in a while. We all thought that, oh, maybe Tade will have a few, may have a little bit of trouble winning this year's tour, but as it goes, he's had no trouble at all, and so it's not really a surprise. We knew this was going to happen. So,
Even though they were like 7 minutes behind.
yeah, going into stage six, which was the first, I mean, the second technical mountain stage, but the first real mountain test, which is how these grand tours are built nowadays, is really built around mountain climbers, which becomes much more exciting than watching the flatter stages. So this one comes in already stage six. We got a big mountain stage with the Tourmalet, which is a climb that has been used, I think, since like 1909 or something.
Yeah, it
Is
was
that
like
that
the
long?
80 whatever
Yeah,
time they were
it's
climbing it
a
for the
classic
GF.
Tour de France climb, beautiful climb. And so there was a rider on the Uno X team. I can't remember his name, but that's classic for this podcast. A Norwegian. He had come back from cancer.
Torst train,
A
huh?
Torst train trying. He had come back from cancer, much like
Yeah.
and had come back, and I think he had actually had some luck, some Giro pink jerseys and whatnot. But anyway, he came back. He had like a 7 minute lead on the rest of the field because of a breakaway win that he was in a few stages prior. So it
Yeah.
was looking pretty good for him to hold on to that yellow jersey, because these guys work their whole lives for these yellow jerseys. And so when you get to wear it, even in like the middle of the tour or like the beginning of the tour, you want to hold on to it for as long as possible so you can have your matching yellow bike, your matching helmet. You get to wear all yellow. It's beautiful. And you get to have that yellow jersey, they say, gives you wings, as Wout said after his Red Bull sponsorship. And he and
Great
so
work.
he's yeah, another testicular cancer survivor.
Torsten
Yeah,
train.
massive breakaway on stage four, taking overall race lead by over 7 minutes, only the third Norwegian in history for the iconic yellow jersey. And so
He
he
was fighting for that yellow jersey in those early stages with that American rider. What's his name?
Oh,
He almost had it. He was
Quinn,
like
the Quinn, not us, the other Quinn, not Quinn Simmons, the other
Sean
Quinn, Sean
Quinn.
Quinn.
Sean Quinn, yeah.
And so as there, so I'm, so
Sean
I'll go.
Quinn was the person who said nothing in that interview. I'm sorry, I just remembered.
Yeah,
Who was
that's
the one
right.
who kept being like, so yeah,
Yeah, that's
so
right.
well,
He's an American where
yeah. I'm like,
English,
you speak English.
English.
They're asking you in English. Come on
I
now.
was like, he's got to have some more media training, or it just shows how just spent these guys are at the top of these climbs.
Again, it was
So,
before.
yeah,
Anyway,
before.
go
Okay,
ahead. He's
anyway.
young.
So as the Tourmalet stage goes, folks, Tade, there's some riders up the road, a few riders up the road. We don't, we're seeing there's a climb after the Tourmalet. So the race doesn't finish at the top of the Tourmalet, but as it goes, Tade put a bunch of guys on the front, starts working through them. Brandon McNulty, an American rider, puts in a huge effort at the bottom of the Tourmalet. And then with like, what was it? With 43K to go, Del Toro is the last person to peel off in front of Tade, and Del Toro puts in a big dig and puts in a separation between with him and Tade between the rest of the peloton. And Jonas goes into like all systems go, like there's high alert, high alert, high alert. Jonas
Yeah.
tries to go, And for a while there, stays within like 10 seconds of them. Del Toro puts in his dig and then peels off and lets Tade go. Del Toro isn't going for number one. Tade doesn't need Del Toro at this point. It's the Tade show. Tade just takes off
He just
and
really
basically,
likes him.
yeah, and basically like, wow, he's attacking 43K to go from the finish. And he makes it up the Tourmalet and he's got like a minute on Jonas. So it still is like, oh, Jonas could crawl back maybe. You know, like this tour isn't over yet.
He is a great
He is a great
climber.
climber. He's a great descender too.
Yeah.
And as we're going down the Tourmalet, Tade is just like taking every corner perfectly. You know, when you're, I don't know if any of y'all have out there have done alpine descents, but you've got to like look where you go. Same with mountain biking, like you go where your eyes go. And so if you're coming into an apex of a turn squarely, you know, like if you're looking straight ahead and like sitting straight up, you miss that. You're losing like a half a second, a second every corner. And as you go down the Tourmalet, I don't know how many switchbacks there are, but you're just losing a half a second every corner. And Tade has taken everyone perfectly. And so that happens when
So
you're
scary to watch them do that,
like
yeah.
really, and you know, and in modern racing, they're racing on the descents. They never used to do that. And so Tade was clocked going 66 miles an hour and a straightaway after going down the Tourmalet. 66 miles an
Highway
hour.
speeds.
Highway speeds. That's crazy. Not crazy, that's
Highway
wild.
run.
And so, you know, he put in like by the bottom of the descent, I think he had like 2 minutes already, which is like game over for Jonas. And then it was just like
Game over, man. Game over.
Tade was just going for it. So on the way down that descent for the yellow jersey, Torsten Tryon,
Train, yeah.
he had a teammate in front of him. He didn't, he was following a little bit too closely. And it's a pretty like bad crash to watch because it's, they're going around the apex of a
Tight
corner and he hits with his
hairpin.
front wheel, he hits the rear wheel of his teammate
Just
and
like
pretty much like does like a, like a, you
it
know,
touched a
like a
trampoline.
swan dive
Yeah.
over the top of his bike and lands directly on his head. And was, you know, didn't lose consciousness, but he did finish the stage. He looked pretty messed up, but he was smiling, you know, a little bit. I mean, this guy, you know, he's no stranger to adversity,
Yeah,
with it being
he's
a
been
cancer
through some
survivor.
stuff.
And he, yeah, as it came out, later, he had a concussion and a few broken ribs, so he had actually had to abandon the race after that stage, unfortunately. So that was, you know, this is all baked into the storyline of these tours. That's so
Yeah.
much that can happen, so much that can happen, and so, you know,
But to be in the yellow jersey one day,
yeah,
crash, and
and then
then
have to,
to have no jersey on the next day.
yeah, it's a
I feel
pretty,
for you, Torsten Tryon.
we feel for
He
you.
does seem like a beloved member of the team too.
Oh,
Like it's
definitely. You can
like
look at
they
him and you
were,
know he's,
yeah, his teammates were like trying to get him a girlfriend and stuff. So that was pretty cute.
So at the end of the stage, Tade wins the Tourmalet stage, putting 2 minutes and 42 seconds into his closest competitor, which is Jonas Vingegaard. And then Del Toro outsprints
Oh, can you believe it?
Remco
Yeah.
for a second in the stage. So
Yeah.
I think Del Toro could have stayed with, you know, we've yet to see exactly what Del Toro is capable of in this tour. I think we will. I think like leading into these, I personally don't think, like I saw Jonas come across the line and he wasn't even pedaling. Like as he came close to the line, he was so
He
spent.
was done.
He was done. I think he's mentally done. I think he's tired of being just completely flogged by the cutie Tadej Pogačar. And he is at an all, like last year, it was revealed just recently that he was considering retiring last year, quitting last year. He's just, you put in this much work and you're away from your family for this long and you're sacrificing this much just to get second place over and over and over again. And
And you're
honestly,
the best you've ever been.
you're the
Like you're
best you've ever
performing
been.
at, yeah, that's gotta
And
be
as
tough.
I was talking to Patrick about this. I was actually talking to Patrick of Ultra Dynamica about, you know, about last week we talked about how Del Toro's first stage win was taken from him by the gift, you know. And I was talking about that to Patrick and he's like, I don't know. He's like, you know, winning to, you know, everyone in the Peloton knows it's like an unspoken thing, or maybe spoken, that's why we know about it, is
Yeah.
that if you get second in the Tade age, then
Then you won.
they all look at that as a win.
Yeah.
But on paper, to us, like in the public, it's not a win. And very few people remember second place. You know,
I don't know.
I missed.
Okay, we'll talk that.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later.
Because you were stewing on the
gift.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that tourmalet stage was because the tourmalet. So on these like climbing stages, there are different categories of climbs. So it ranges from like 4 to
HC,
which is like the tourmalet.
Horse category. How do you say it?
I don't know. It's
that's what
it's one
means.
Of those like hors d'oeuvres kind of a spelling.
Mm-hmm.
But there were, I think, there was a 4, a 2. It gets harder as you.
There was the HC.
Yeah, it's like gauging your ears. You know, the smaller the number, the bigger the hole. The smaller the number, the bigger the climb. So remember that. Because I know alt cyclists love a gauged ear. Back in the day, maybe.
So
I don't
see that
as much anymore.
That concludes the tourmalet stage. We had two sprint stages after that, which were, I mean, sprint stages really are just you just fast forward to the end, whatever. It's not like there's anything, you know. Sprint stages would be more impressive, I think, if we could like see the riders more. You know, you look at old footage. It's unfortunate because the footage is so bad, but when the riders were helmetless, which is crazy to think that all these riders were helmetless going into bunch sprints.
Oof.
But that's how it was. But you could see like in the days of like Chippo or something, you could see his like hair flowing and like his like these guys just looked fucking cool.
And the bikes
were cool, and it was and they had they had bigger personalities, not great personalities, but they were big personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And the sprinters were very like, it was like it was interesting to watch, not necessarily the healthiest spectacle of humanity,
but certainly a spectacle.
You just don't get that anymore, you know. And so they had the stage 9 was a breakaway stage.
All right.
And
you know,
we're getting
I'm
getting into it because we're leading into Quinn Simmons.
Go ahead.
So the stage that we had before the rest day, which was yesterday, Quinn Simmons was favored to win. American Quinn Simmons, the American national champion, the proud Captain America.
Uh-huh.
With the mustache and the flowing hair. You know, I have a feeling he's never won a Tour de France stage. He wants it more than anyone. Rumor has it that he's not the smartest riders, but he will always do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like, I guess that may be like a capsule of an American, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, like Americans in the early days. Not maybe the smartest, but they'll do the work.
Pioneers,
exactly.
Westward,
and he's from Durango. Yeah, he's from Durango, so that's
yeah,
very much
that vibe.
So anyway, that's how he rides.
He's a gold rush boy.
Gold rush boy. So anyway, he did not.
A little side note: Taylor and Kasia are covering the Tour de France on Instagram.
It's
really entertaining. Mm-hmm. Please tune in. Taylor's been on the pod before, if you remember.
Friend of the pod.
And friend of the pod. And he's actually doing a good job. So watch that too.
Anyway, so Simmons' favorite to win stages, these breakaway stages. He was in the break, and then with like 14, 15K to go, he just like disappeared. But I guess he didn't have, he signaled back to the team car. He didn't have the legs. So they took him and
Mads
Pedersen was back. So
he
wanted to work for Mads, who's got the green jersey. And so
all this to say, Quinn Simmons alt.
Yeah, that was what we were leading.
Because when Ron, you and I were watching like the team presentations, it was like everyone looks kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 160 riders, and they all had like this clean shaven kind of a Yankees, New York Yankees player look.
Oh, interesting analogy.
You know, and then here comes Quinn Simmons looking very Red Sox.
He's
looking like total redneck vibes, long hair.
It's hard to know if it's ironic or if he really means it.
I think he obviously means it. He's young. He knows he's social media savvy. He's got these glasses that are super loud. Like everything about him is just really loud. And I looked at Ron and I was like, Quinn Simmons is all. Because he's looks so different than everyone else.
Yeah, in that
and
term.
So now we're like, Is Quinn Simmons alt because he's a Trump supporter,
Well, you know,
right?
that as it goes, everyone, we had to look back because there was an incident in 2020 where Quinn Simmons said something in a Twitter post, right? It wasn't his
Yeah.
Twitter post. It was someone saying,
It was in response to a Dutch journalist who was criticizing Trump, and she had said, like, you can go if you support Trump. And he had tweeted the words bye and like dark skin hand waving emoji. And that was
It was
cause for suspension for
in
him
20
from
in
the team
2020, yeah,
in
big time, right? You
2020.
would be like completely canceled for that. And he
It
was.
was a
It's
different
crazy. It's
political
crazy to
climate.
think back that a that digital blackface was a that was what they cited the
It is, and it's the only incident that we could find where he said that.
So
So maybe he's
he
learned,
hasn't
unlike
said
Chloe
anything.
Dygert, who
Yeah,
did
he
the
hasn't like
Charlie
unlike
Kirk
Chloe
thing,
Dygert, he's
who
learned.
doubles down.
But he hasn't said anything since 2020. And in 2020, how old would he have been?
I
Like
don't,
still a
I know.
teenager, I think.
Maybe,
His
I don't
dad, we know
know.
for a fact that his dad was a Trump supporter. And I'm not saying that like being a Trump supporter like pulls your alt card. In
Oh,
many
really?
in many ways, the whole Trump phenomenon is pretty. It was they used to call it the alt-right.
Yeah. Yikes.
So I mean
So,
it's
are
a
we concluding that Quinn Simmons is alt? He is alt-right. He's not
I
alt-right with
it's a
me.
hot take for me. For me he's kind of become my favorite cyclist. Like political leanings, whatever. It's a controversial
Controversy.
take, but he has this look that the look alone, and I love the way he races. Like I love the Gold Rush way of racing.
Yeah.
I just like how, you know, how tenacious he is. I like how I like, yeah, I
His
just
interviews
his
are
interviews are
more
good. He's
honest than,
interesting.
yeah.
He's got an alternative take on training. I know he like does a lot of his training in the American Southwest out of his van.
Yeah.
And he's got, yeah, I think he has a lot of fun on the bike. He lo obviously loves winning and wants to win. And that may be to his detriment. But at this point now, it's really endearing, I think. I just like to follow his trajectory. And having met him just once on a road bike ride with Brendan in Durango, we just stopped and had a coffee with him at Bread. And it was right after he had left. It was kind of at the low point of his career 2 years ago after Roubaix. Well, he got sent home from the Spring Classics because he wasn't doing very well. And I remember somebody at the coffee shop was like, "Hey Quinn, what's up with your boy Vanderpool? What's he on?" And it was after Vanderpool had won
Like
the
everything,
everything. And he's like, "I don't know, but I'm not on it." Obviously. So maybe he's on it now.
I don't know.
Anyway, I would love to know everyone else's take. Like he's kind of been like it's been like toxic. Like you can't talk or touch him, you know, because in our world, because I think a lot of cycling fans in this country are like, you know, like,
Along that divide, are
oh,
you a Trump fan? Are you
well,
not a
I
Trump
think like
fan? You
cycling in
kind
this
of.
country is so, as we will get into and tell them why you're mad, cycling in this country is not, is overwhelmingly like a, I guess I compare it to like our universities where it's mostly, I feel like left-leaning people because of the divide between cyclists and drivers in this country.
But then professional cycling is
Well,
pretty
it's much more
conservative,
European, much more
traditional.
European. In Europe, it isn't seen as a left-leaning thing to do to ride a bike. Whereas in America, it is. Like it's been politicized. Like
Yeah,
bikes
even
are
more so.
yeah, bikes are politicized in this country, whereas they're not in Europe. They're just a way of getting around in a good way. So like so left and rightists alike can get behind the bicycle in Europe, but not in the US. In the US, it's a virtue signal.
Yeah, fair.
So that's why it's just so different. Like these guys, like you hear this from the journalists, the cycling journalists, like you'd be very surprised with how many, you know, right-wing guys there are in the pro peloton. You know, you'd be surprised. But in this country, we think of anyone who rides bikes just because of the sheer fact that they're out there with the cars that are so large. And basically, it's just a divide between the right and left, and anyone who gets around
I wonder if
without a motor is like a leftist in this country.
Because it's we like are radical. So car culture.
Yeah. So, it's kind of we'd love to hear your takes. So send us a message or something and let us know. Maybe we'll have some findings,
some good discussion
some data by the time we do our next episode. Well, Namdal, we are already 46 minutes in here.
That's great. So on to some other news, mm-hmm. some other folks that are in the news. The FEMS are going to be starting soon in a couple of weeks. It's been a little bit quiet on the women's cycling front.
The Tour de France FEMS.
The Tour de France FEMS of Ixwift, Tour de
which
France.
Is the
they
second,
got nine stages this year. So
which
that's
is more
exciting.
Popular than the men's Giro. As far as viewership. So yeah. It's a big deal.
Women's cycling, more and more people mm-hmm. watching every mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. And the largest demographic of cyclists we can grab is women. And mm-hmm. I think that road cycling for women is pretty, attractive mm-hmm. because it's you're not asking,
you think like handling skills aren't like gravel and mountain bikes can be kind of more intimidating to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. There's definitely gatekeeping in every demographic of cycling. Mm-hmm. And I think that the road gatekeeping aligns with. I don't know. I haven't really worked through that yet.
Well, I think it's interesting to note. Again, I'm going to reference Patrick here.
Yeah.
He was on these Breakfast Club rides that are sponsored by like Specialized. Like, you know, there's a lack of professional racing in our country. Like it's pretty much gone as far as professional racing and amateur racing. Yeah. Professional racing and amateur road racing has disappeared in the United States. And so, whereas in our day, Patrick and ours day, when we were getting into, you know, riding in groups and doing group rides, everything was race informed. So there was a racing scene and we all raced. And so, but now it's much more of a fondo scene. And he says, like, much to his dismay, as far as like people's awareness on the road and doing like, and just, the old style etiquette, there is now a much more inclusive bunch that shows up to these road events in particular.
Yeah.
Where they are. Where you have also the gates have been lifted, so to speak. I guess the only gate is that you're wearing Paul Normal. Which I'm all,
it's fine.
It's fine.
Again,
the little gates and all, like you can go against these gates for sure. And people do with success. But the little gates are culture. Like it's kind of fun. You know, to me personally, it's kind of fun. Mm. I know you too as a sociologist.
Anthropologist.
Cultural anthropologist. What is a sociologist?
Sociology studies human behavior, anthropology studies humans.
Gates. There's always been. They're all like in any activity that you do throughout life in the history of humankind. There have been gates.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so these gates are fun things that humans do to make culture. Mm-hmm. And I think if you come at it with a perspective like that. Like you'll be much more.
Are we going into our gatekeeping discussion here?
No, you'll have a happier life. We were just talking about. Sorry, I'm gonna hand it back to you.
Thank you. I'm talking about women's professional cycling, and Ronnie's like, let's talk about gates. I just want to talk about.
Yeah,
about the gates that I know, which mm-hmm. is Amanda and Kevin. Mm-hmm. Those are great gateses.
Shout out the gateses.
Again. So the hot news this week was that Kate Courtney has joined Team FDJ Suez after Elise Shabby, who's also on that team, had to leave very quickly because she found out she was pregnant. And that's why she hadn't been feeling so good. Something that I found really fascinating from that entire thing was like a lot of pro athletes at this level don't have their periods anymore. So it wasn't like she couldn't tell that she was pregnant because she missed a period because she just doesn't have them. Mm. And, I listened to her interview on the Wheel Talk podcast yesterday and she was saying like, I just felt bad and I couldn't meet my power numbers and I don't know what it was, but congratulations to her. She's pregnant. And American mountain bike superstar Kate Courtney, Kate Plus Fate, is taking her place. And people are really excited about it, which is,
I think more than anything, really nice. Because of Kate Courtney's Instagram reach.
Oh, yeah. You say more.
She's got, so, I mean, most people, I've been accused by Aria of going after, God dang it. What's her name? Sorry. Demi Vollering.
Oh.
Of following Demi Vollering and liking her thirst traps.
She doesn't have thirst traps. Okay, go ahead.
But she's got like something like 450K followers on Instagram or whatever. And Kate Courtney has like 600 something followers, 600K or something. And so they were just like pumped to have somebody else out there, because this is how this stuff gets out there now. You know, like these athletes not only have to perform the on the road, but they also have to perform the.
Well, it's a little different for online in the women's
yeah,
field
yeah.
too, because you do have to put out so much extra stuff just so you can fund yourself for the year.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So you, I mean. Girls are out here.
What's your Canadian girl who does the dances?
Yeah, Allison Jackson.
Allison Jackson. Not, you know, not really the, you know, her palmares aren't, you know, she won the Roubaix, of course, but she's has like, I don't know, like 200K subscribers on Instagram or something. And so that is her currency. Like, that is why teams want her.
Yeah.
Is because of that. And so, you know,
she'd make a great announcer too.
Yeah. You know, so the personalities come into, it's not just your physical performance, it's your personality in the burgeoning world of women's cycling right now. And
for
so
sure.
it's call it unfortunate, but that's just the way it
that's
goes.
The economy.
That's the economy.
It's so, the economy, silly.
Yeah. So they're psyched. People are psyched to have Kate Courtney join the women's ranks here with FDJ.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm excited to see more and more riders from the US in these world tours.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Let's do a little real life report back, I guess. Should we even get into, or I guess we don't have enough time for our women's health or burnout?
No, people love you just think? Hanging out.
They love just
talking,
hanging out and talking, so I should just get into burnout, red.
Yes.
As I touched on a little bit earlier in the pod, is it a pod if it's several episodes back, or the podcast if it was just earlier in this episode? Earlier in the podcast, I talked about how Jonas was probably going to quit because he's just getting the raw edge of Tade's.
And he's so close to the finish line of his contract.
So close to the finish of his contract's up next year. They
could
always
break
that contract. He's already won all three Grand Tours because he just won the Giro this year earlier.
Uh-huh.
He's got plenty of money.
He doesn't have to go back to the fish factory
anymore.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah, that's right. That was his background.
Slinging fish,
yep.
Just like you.
Just like me. So he doesn't have to do that anymore. He's got his kids. He's got his sweet wife. He loves his family so much. He just wants to be home with them. But, you know, after these, I think, you know, after these big efforts of being away from them and having to calculate, like these riders, everything is calculated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cycling creates the highest sustained energy demand of any sport,
of including like boxing,
and sustained energy demand, and so everything, and in the days of marginal gains and where you're competing against someone like Tade, like everything you do, every grain of dust that you eat is accounted for.
Oh,
and your sleep schedule, your sex schedule, everything is scheduled. Like there's no room to have fun in life, and so this, and on top of that, you're doing all of this to routinely just get second place, no matter what you're doing. And so,
no matter how many
PRs
you get.
And so, you know, was almost left the team in 2025, almost retired after 2025. They say he changed a bunch of things, was able to be at home more. But, you know, oftentimes these riders are stuck up at these altitude islands, you know, these small areas in Europe, like in Andorra, where you can be at high altitude without leaving high altitude and doing all of your rides. And you're just stuck up there like you're like a castaway, because if you go down, you lose your altitude training. And so they stay up here and they can't be with their family. They're just basically very, it's a very unnatural setting where these guys in their teens and 20s are just stuck on an island, for lack of a better term. And so, you know, it's no mystery why he would feel burnt out. And I was saying after the Tourmalet stage, seeing him come across the line, I was like, he's already done. Like, he's made the decision in his brain. I wouldn't be surprised if he does race again. We don't think he'll ever race against Tade again. Like, he'll do races. I mean, it makes sense. Like, why bother? He'll do races where Tade is not racing, like the Giro. Like, that he won the Giro this year because Tade wasn't there. Like, any race that he wins is because Tade isn't there.
Fair.
And what that's got to do to your little baby brain.
It's just, baby brain.
Well, you know, we call him little baby Jonas.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so, you know, it's just, it's a raw deal, you know. In any other era of cycling, Jonas would be a superstar, but I don't think many people.
He is a superstar.
Well, he is a superstar, but I don't, in the Tade age, like, people aren't, like, I think of the Lance age, like, how many people remember Jan Ulrich? You know?
The people, like, people know Jan Ulrich.
Jan Ulrich was way cooler than Jonas, first off. Well, okay. he did batter his wife. Like most of these,
I was just gonna say, yeah, he's real cool because
real cool. But he had a much cooler
era.
He had a much cooler
just
look.
Just straight up women's
abuse. He grew up. I mean, Jan Ulrich grew up.
It was a different time. Everybody was beating each other.
He grew up in East Germany. East Germany before the wall fell. You know, he's the.
What else are you gonna do besides beat your wife?
Oh, God,
Jesus.
Anyway,
we're not excusing any of this.
These are just different people. These are different people.
No.
These are different people. This is not a, Jan Ulrich is not a baby Jonas.
He's
not. But so I think we will kind of remember, we remember Jan Ulrich because of his infamy, whereas Jonas is just going to be remembered, unfortunately, as just a meek counterpoint to Tade's domination.
It's so crazy that you say stuff like this, and I think something completely different about Jonas. I think he is such a decent, ethical rider.
Mm-hmm.
Who just tries his very best and is like a good person.
Yeah, you know? He's got all that. He's got all that going. But
and
that
because
doesn't...
of that, he's just like boring. But Jan Ulrich is amazing because he's
not
out
amazing.
There slapping babies. What the fuck?
Slapping babies now.
Jeez.
Well,
let's move on. Because
so,
now I'm getting into a tell 'em while you're mad situation.
Well, the tell 'em while you're mad. This may be the one pure alt bike segment of this episode. There's been very little to talk about in the alt bike world this week, folks. I hope you haven't minded. All of the websites, I'm like, what? There's just nothing going on right now. So, you know, I had a bunch of messages that were sent to me on my Instagram yesterday and the day before about this. Sorry to get political here again, but I think we're pretty like, this is a politically biased take, just a cyclist take. Okay. So there was the Sean Duffy, formerly of the Real World Boston, I think.
Probably. Sounds about right.
Is now the transportation secretary. And he was also like a Fox News commentator also afterwards. And the lumberjack. I love the Real World. That's why I was so devastated by this news. He is equating bike lanes, okay? Just city bike lanes, just ways to get around that aren't motorized. I guess this is even an attack on e-bikes and e-scooters and like all the stuff that we as cyclists abhor. You know, we're all in this together now, I guess, because they are trying to take away our bike lanes. Or I guess essentially Sean Duffy is saying that bike lanes are basically DEI. What was the exact quote?
What an idiot.
What was the quote?
He was Real World Boston 1997.
Oh, I did have the Boston right.
Yeah, I mean,
can you read the
of
quote?
Course.
Can you read the quote for me? In his baffling ex post. Okay.
Quote, remember when Biden and Boot Edge used your money for DEI bike lanes and climate change? That's over.
All caps.
I just redirected $1.73 billion in U.S. DOT grants away from Biden-era DEI pet projects. Now this funding is officially locked in to fix America's actual backbone, roads, bridges, and shipping ports.
I think Biden, remember when Biden fell over on his bike in front of all those reporters?
Mm-hmm.
That was a real blow to our...
To the bike lanes.
Yeah. I think that that's where this
Thanks,
all comes
Biden.
From. I think that's where this all
Thanks,
comes
Obama.
From.
Thanks, Obama.
You know, it's just this just further proves my point that us as cyclists, we're second class citizens, folks. If you prefer to get around without a motor.
It's crazy that Sean Duffy's from Boston and he's saying shit like this because Boston in the 90s, like so many bike deaths, like one of the most dangerous cities to live in.
They should have been in a car.
And even in a car, Boston was pretty. Remember the big dig? I mean, that alone killed some people. Like Boston is a nightmare for driving and cycling.
It's a pretty damn confusing city to get around.
It's worse to drive. It's expensive to take the T, so you ride bikes. And Boston absolutely needs bike lanes and bike infrastructure that's better.
So
it's insane that this freaking real world star who looks like a condom.
Looks like a condom. Condoms are good.
Yeah, I mean.
I love condoms. Personally, I don't love Sean Duffy.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just... You know, I don't know how bicycles, again, I guess what we were talking about earlier in this episode, where in this country, there's a dividing line between cyclists and drivers. Cyclists are generally deemed as
a nuisance
to the road, or just like, just grow up, get a car, or like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what, but it's just not we live in rural blue country.
Yeah.
But we don't get, like, cars are not an issue for us. It's whatever. It's
sometimes they're a little too nice.
Too nice. Like they
stop
slow behind
down.
You and slow way down. But we don't have anywhere. Like we're getting a bike lane put in our town, but because our town is so elderly, it's not called a bike lane. It's like an elderly walking path that we'll be able to ride our bikes on. And I did look that up, and that's because that's like state money. We are still getting that. But many other places around the country, like in cities, you know, they're going to have to fund their projects with state or local money. And they're going to have to basically, they can't like take away car lanes to include bike lanes in it. Very, I guess, we're kind of like what the city of Paris did after the pandemic when they closed a lot of like major corridors to cars and just opened them up to bike lanes. And I guess they're still doing that. Like, I guess it's a counter to that, of course, because we hate everything French.
That's not true.
It's not true. I'm saying America.
Oh, sure.
And so, you know, it's just another unfortunate page and you know.
It's like the equating bike lanes with diversity and equity and inclusion. Like,
but
what?
Just goes to show that is how a cyclist is perceived, especially if they're in their cycling kit by your standard like U.S. driver.
Yeah,
like, this
that's
is
true.
Like, look at this DEI twink, you know. Pedaling. What are they doing? And again, if you're, with the exception of giving back to the cycling community, which is held up by benevolent donors, essentially, and there's a bunch of people just making stuff for them, for each other, you know, outside of that, you know, we're not held in very high regard. I don't know what I was getting.
I don't know. Harrison Ford is a cyclist.
I had a point. But anyway, it's, but this also made me think, too. I think of Austin, Texas. When I started living in Austin, I moved to Austin in 2005. No bike lanes. This was Lance Armstrong's hometown. He lived there. This was peak Lance. Okay, he was dating Sheryl Crow. He was dating Olsen twins. He was, Matthew McConaughey was his close personal friend. Okay,
Still
so this is peak Lance, peak bike in our country. Okay. Like bikes were actually kind of seen by like the normal American as like a cool thing at this point because of
Yeah.
Lance Armstrong.
Everyone in high school had a Livestrong bracelet.
Yeah. So this is, I don't think we'll ever get back to this because you have to have an American superstar like that that is bigger than life and is basically a redneck to begin with. I mean that in the best of ways, I guess. You just need to, he's just like a corn-fed American, you know? And so he, for most of America, that could relate to Lance Armstrong in some way or another,
I think the
for
cancer
better or for
journey was
worse.
all
It's all in
the
there.
cancer
The
journey really.
comeback kid, yeah, all this. So, yeah, the single mom, raised by a single mom, this, that. And
Yeah,
so,
it's a good
you know,
story.
but that's long gone. But even then, I was like, Austin's got no bike infrastructure. And now it does. And you know, when I go and visit places like Portland, Oregon. So when I learned to ride in like traffic in Austin, there were no bike lanes, but we had a lot of fun riding in traffic, you know? And I was like, when they started to put bike lanes in, you had to start stopping at stoplights. You had to start following the rules of the road more. Whereas before, you just could do, it was like a free for all, which it kind of still is in a lot of Eastern American cities. But like places like Portland, you got to follow every single rule and you get yelled at if you don't. And so, you know, there kind of is a plus side to not having bike paths for an
Right,
established
come on.
cyclist.
No, I'm not buying this. First of
But for
all,
getting people in it,
you first of
getting people
all,
into it, I understand.
no. You were talking about bygone time, 2005, when you were very young, and young people, like, you
Risk
know, I've been
aversion.
one. We don't understand risks when we're that young, so
No,
you
no.
do it. But when you have a population increase in who's on the road, what types of vehicles are on the road, people are dying out in these streets. Someone from Maine who was a, like, just this week, got hit by a car and died, and she was infrastructure, like a bike lane
Oh
infrastructure
yeah. No,
advocate.
that was in Boston, wasn't it?
Somewhere in New England.
That's
And
Boston. That was Boston.
so
She was a big deal. We should have done an obituary for her.
it's
But
just messed up.
yeah. That's true.
And
Forgot about
you
that.
have to follow the rules in places like Portland and other, because there's just a lot of people out there. These are collective rules that we figure out for each other for safety, because we want each other to live, not because we're trying to blast through stuff. And like, that's fine if you want to, if it's a safe way to do it, like, go ahead. But you've got to be considerate about other people. You've got to be considerate about other people that are sharing the same roads as you. Good grief.
So, you know, hopefully, you know, when all this turns around next year, we'll be able to knock some funds back into those bike lanes.
It was a Boston City
Yeah,
worker,
yeah, yeah. It's terrible. I know.
36 years old. Oh, she looks like a sweet person. Looks familiar too. Louise Gag. R.I.P. Louise. Louise.
Yeah, were you going to read that
36 year
headline?
old Louise Gag, who has advocated for safer streets, was struck by a motorist while riding her bike in Roxbury Crossing. Gag was pronounced dead at the scene. The accident, oh, it's hard to read. The accident occurred just blocks from Boston Cyclists Union members, of whom she knew Louise well, and expressed grief and anger over her death. They plan on creating a memorial to her after family and community members have a chance to grieve. Police are not commenting due to an ongoing investigation. And that
So,
was just 5 days ago. So
yeah. So yeah, we need these bike lanes.
It's not right.
It
We
shouldn't,
can't
but
go backwards on this
I don't want
stuff.
to go backwards on this stuff, but I also don't want to scare people away from riding their bikes in cities, because I feel like that's the more scared you are, the more apt you are to make mistakes. Don't hesitate. That's my biggest tip for riding in general, is when you hesitate, that's when you make mistakes. Like, and especially when there's another driver involved, make eye contact. That's the main thing. Before you make your move, make eye contact. You know, have your peripheral vision on lock, and then make your move. And don't hesitate with that move. Don't hesitate. But you know, that's the
Be
only thing we can have in our toolkits.
predictable.
Yeah, be predictable. So, you know, it's
I think holding people who are killing cyclists like this accountable, criminally accountable is a big one.
Big
and
step.
This does
That'll
not
be a big
happen.
Step.
So that's another big one. I mean, we could be as vigilant as possible as cyclists out on the roads, but we've got to hold these people. Like they have to pay for what they've done. Like, and then more other people will be a little bit.
We just need respect.
I mean,
in this country.
I don't know. I don't care about the respect. Just stop killing us, y'all. Like, and if you're going to kill one of us, you're going to have to face time or put on the suit and start building the infrastructure we need. That should be the punishment for someone who kills somebody
a car. You have to put on spandex.
You have to put on the suit and you have to start building the roads yourself.
In spandex. You have to start building roads yourself. Manual labor in spandex. It's public humiliation for these people who don't recognize cyclists
Shame.
As citizens.
Yeah. Shame. Shame.
So without that, yeah. So that's why we're mad this week, folks. So RIP Louis Gregg. Really a sad story there. Hope
you were too young.
Yeah, hope your friends and family are healing. And yeah,
I probably knew them. They were probably in our circles, Jenny.
No, they are. I know that. Yeah,
really sad.
So, on a lighter note, let's wrap this up. Oh, we have, but before that, we're going to get into our real life report backs because we did promise.
We rode so much this week.
We rode a lot this week. Together.
You rode a country fixed ride.
Oh, yeah.
The day before Walsh Fest.
I dusted off the country fixed bike.
What kind of logs did you do?
Yeah, Alex was really wanting to get out on his country fixed. So we had Moody and Johuba. The four of us went out on we explored some new single track nearby. It blows my mind that I've lived here my entire life, yet I'm still finding new trails, new connectors, new little hidden pieces of, you know, little hidden spots in the woods, which is really what exploring by bike is all about. And I love, and it just makes it an added level of amusement, difficulty, and danger. Is doing this all on a fixed gear bicycle. Don't call it track lacrosse, folks. This is country fixed.
Okay, it's a little different.
Okay, so we did I did like a 35-mile ride on the fixed gear, pretty much single track, a lot of like double track, a lot of chunk, and tried to stay on the bike as much as I could. And yeah, if you can't ride over it, you just jump off and run with the bike and get back on. And it was just a blast. I just love riding my bike like that with friends. And I've also had like an old teenage friend who's back for 3 weeks this summer, Brendan Schaefer from Durango, Colorado. We worked together at...
He's not a teenager. You've just been friends.
We were friends since
we
are teenagers. He's not a teenage friend. I have a teenage friend. And yeah, we worked together at a bike shop in Madison, Connecticut when we were both teenagers, 13 and 16 respectively in the 90s.
Cute.
And
very
so
cute.
Yeah, we've just had this life of riding together. Brendan was at one point not only the Colorado state champion for Cat 1 cross country mountain biking, but the national champion.
Stars and bars.
Of Cat 1, not elite, we're talking Cat 1 amateurs, but he was the best of the amateurs. So an amazing rider. And I always love riding with Brendan because he kind of shows me things that I didn't know were possible. And I try and follow his line and try it out, you know, nothing too dangerous. It's just, he has such a flowy style.
He does.
He's very light on his bike.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be as light on my bike as possible because that's how I find romance in the trail.
A decorated musician.
A decorated musician.
He won some blue ribbons at
Roxbury Fiddle Competition, Roxbury, Connecticut. Number one, Brendan Schaefer over the weekend. So the day after his big win at the Roxbury Fiddle Competition, he comes to Walsh Fest.
What's that?
Walsh Fest, our friend Brian Walsh, Faith Walsh, live out in the Mystic, Connecticut area, Stonington, Connecticut area. So they invited us out for a nice little road ride, followed by a little party afterwards, a barbecue. And it was a lot of fast folks showed up. Brendan and I showed up on our Rivendells to be in solidarity with Aria here.
Also, but because you were really tired from your country fix ride.
Well, I would have, that made me more tired being on my Rivendell trying to keep up with the road bikes. I was on my Rivendell Blériot with, you know, and Brendan was on his Rivendell Atlantis. We both had some pretty wide tires. Our bikes weighed probably about 10 pounds more than our road bikes. But we...
They were being allies to me because I was the only girl on this ride.
Yep.
And I was, you know, in over my head, but I have this like inner fire sometimes where it's like, I fuck this. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do it. I did it. And I went the fastest I've ever ridden in my life. 44 miles, averaging 14 miles per hour.
Ooh.
I think the fastest I've ever gone is 13, like on one of my centuries. Uh-huh. But I was, this was before like the Tour Divide. So it was like at the end of my Tour Divide training. And
I will say you ride less now, but you ride faster now.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm unaware of that.
But speed is something that we had to kind of work back in our legs after being on tour for so long.
That's fair.
You know, and yeah. And you know, if you don't ride, there were years went by where I only rode one bike, and that bike was loaded.
Yeah.
And so I realized that when we were on our little solstice tour with Joe Cruz.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, this was what we used to do. Just like sit down and half pedal all day long.
Yep.
Wait,
what does half pedal mean?
It means like just killing time essentially. You know, just, it's nice. It's a nice way to live. Don't get me wrong, but the sensations of speed are so cool.
Yeah.
And especially in the summertime, when you get that air conditioning, you know, so the faster you move, the cooler you stay, honestly. Yeah.
It is fun to do road rides in the summer.
Mm-hmm. It's just fun to like interact with all these different facets of cycling.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And because my open gate into into cycling was touring, I've never been speed chaser. Until I started watching the tour, and I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Look at them. And I have like the visual of super fast people riding. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of like visualize that in my body form and try to like replicate it, because it's fun for me. Just like knowing all the little games you can play. Like every uphill is a race, is like a mini race in their group.
Because you got to not lose the wheel in front of you.
Yeah, because on this ride I did, because like right out the gate, y'all just pedaled. And
Brian Walsh on the front,
he pedaled real hard, and I hung on as much as I could, but I ended up getting dropped, and they were going so fast, and I was like in aero position, tugged, trying to catch up, and I was like, I am not going to catch them. Like, this is crazy. It's never happened before. So I just got in my head and I was like, I'm gonna just like turn myself inside out to try to catch them. And luckily they had red lights, so then I caught up to them. And the difference between being in the draft versus not, it's like you cannot lose people. So yeah. Like for the rest of the day, I was like, I'm gonna do my very best not to lose someone. And Ronnie was a good enough ally and came back and gave me rides back up to the group
in my draft,
in my
Rivendell like, position draft.
Yeah, it was like the taxi. Like, he came back, I got picked up, so that was pretty nice. I love riding with fast people. I haven't always, but you know, things change. I was
pleasantly surprised to see that 14 mile an hour MPH, because it felt like all day I was riding a pig. Like, it's crazy the difference when you're trying to turn the screws a little bit. I'd say turn the screws, ride faster than 13 miles an hour, seemingly. It's a big difference between – the bikes make a big difference. Like, your riding position makes a big difference. Rivendell's, you know, a lot of the weight is back. Like, there's a much slacker C-tube angle. They're more designed for relaxing on the bike, which is great. But if you have to, you know, that your power position is slid forward on the saddle, so you're directly over the top of the pedals. You want your bike to be a little bit snappier. This bike is real stiff. And yeah, it just felt dead. Felt like a dead pig that I was riding. It feels great when I'm riding it at like 12 miles an hour. But above that, it's just like, no, it's not very inspiring. So I was happy to keep up with everyone for the most part.
Yeah, it was great.
But I got a good workout. And we had that was a great ride. We had a stop at some really like old fashioned ice cream place in Noank.
Oh yeah, that's
that
right.
It looked like we were going back in the 50s. It's just so many cute spots on the Connecticut shoreline. You forget that we have such a cool
Mystic Seaport.
We live in such a cool state. Like Connecticut folks.
Connecticut is the place to be.
It's not just, what's the county?
Stepford Wives.
Yeah. What's the county that I'm talking? We don't even know
Fairfield.
The name. Yeah. It's not just that stuff, the close next to the city. You know, Connecticut, what a spot. So, yeah, that was our real life report backs. We got anything else for there? We're getting well into an hour
That's
and 21
great.
Here. We want to do a little wrap up?
Sure.
New contributors. We got a bunch this week.
I
think after our sob story about getting dragged by a troll.
By claiming we're rich.
People wanted to own by Crest, which
we are not, by the way. Don't listen to misinformation online. And you cannot just find how much like companies' revenue streams on. Like that's not true. Unless they're publicly traded, and we are far from being publicly traded company. Okay. We're not playing big capitalism game.
I think everyone knows that.
Merchants. We are the merchants of Venice. Anyway.
So that's why we really appreciate these contributions to our ice cream fund.
Thank you so much. Because we already spent our ice cream money on that last ride, didn't we, Janie?
We did.
We got coffee, by the way. It was really good. Mm-hmm. So Jared Beckman, Christoph Kazior, Justin Kennedy. Oh, shout out Justin Kennedy.
Yeah, I know that name.
Yeah. Yeah. He's from Abingdon, Virginia, which we talked about. Daniel Yang.
We know who that is of Artifact Bikes. Shout out. Check out his YouTube channel, Yang Manufacturing.
That's right. Dan Liebau, Lydia Hill, Vince Andorelli.
Androdi. Freddy. We could pronounce that.
Freddy Powell.
Freddy.
Justin B. The Kramers.
Justin cool. Bieber, you think?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. No, Becknell.
Okay.
Thank you, Justin Becknell.
Oh, and Johnny Twos.
Johnny Twos.
I like that. Johnny Twos, baby. Oh, Twos. Yeah. I mean, Twos. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So thanks a lot. That's great.
We are at $194 a month.
Oh, my goodness.
That is so much money.
Folks, wow. You're fattening us up.
Thank you.
We will not have burnout because we're eating ice cream.
Yep.
Folks, another hot week here in Nutmeg Country. You can rest assured that we will indeed be out on the bikes, sweating it out and jumping in our swimming hole afterwards. I hope everyone else has a nice, cool place to jump into or has some nice ice cold air conditioning that is fully functioning.
Mm-hmm.
But I will warn you, if you do get acclimated to that air conditioning, it's going to make it a lot harder to get out. So generally, only if you have some pre-existing conditions would Yeah, I'm the doctor now.
Or like comfort.
Comfort.
I disagree with Ron here.
I think you got to be in the heat. You got to live in the heat to be able to ride in the heat.
I am a northerner, and
No. You were born in South India.
Okay, but I was
where
went
it's
to
very,
boarding school
extremely hot.
North.
Extremely hot.
I identify culturally as a northerner, Jon Snow, King of the North, all hail.
So, folks.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of All Right Now. I'm Ronnie Romance.
I'm Aria Faster Than Ever.
And you're going to be on a 15-mile-an-hour ride this week, mark my words.
Bye.
Bye.